Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 15 of the Gridiron Pulse. We got me and Cole here today. How are we doing here, Cole?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm excited about this show. We got some topics to hit on. We've had some great stuff around the sports world overall, and I mean, where else would you rather be than right here?
Nowhere else, at least for me, I can say that for sure. We got on the schedule today a little NBA playoffs recap of those first two conference finals games. We have a couple activities after that. We had to memorize the Colorado Rockies wins as homework from last episode. And then we have our post-spring top 25 college football rankings. We're going to go ahead and get right into it. I mean, last night's NBA playoffs game was something else, man. Tyrese Halliburton, is he one of the better clutch players in the NBA right now?
I mean, dude, it's looking like it. It was shades of Reggie Miller. Of course, he did the classic.
He screwed it
So,
up too.
why do you say that?
Because it wasn't a three. I mean, it
Well,
ended up
yeah.
working out for him in the long run in overtime. But yeah, if that was a three to win, like we all thought it was in the moment, that would have been like one of the most legendary shots we've seen recently.
Oh yeah, and of course, shout out to Tyrese Halliburton for hitting that shot, getting that bounce. I mean, that's just destiny that shot went in.
It
But
went like
we
20 feet in
cannot,
the air.
I know, but we cannot go without giving the props to this guy, Aaron Nesmith, who
Dude.
just turned into, think of any NBA player like that you can think of just heat check, clutch moment. This guy had 18 points in the final, whatever minute stretch it was. He turned into Tracy McGrady, 13 points in 30 seconds or whatever that was. This guy was, and it was obvious too. Like, if you watch that game, they were dribbling up the court and just looking to where Aaron Nesmith was going to be. And somehow the Knicks, I mean, it, like, most of those threes were like semi to not contested. I don't know what the Knicks were doing on defense, but this dude, Aaron Nesmith, got it done for him. And then, of course, Halliburton with the game-winning shot. I cannot, looking back at that game, I don't understand how the Knicks blow that game. I mean, it was like 114 to 98 with 4 minutes left. And, like, you just don't lose that game 90
Yeah, they were up
minutes
by
left.
over 10 with less than a minute.
It's
It was,
crazy.
yeah, there's any number of stats we can rattle off about what happened in last night's game, but I mean, this one's just rides true to home. Aaron Nesmith was 8 for 9 from three with 30 points, 2 rebounds, no assists, just straight buckets, nothing else. It was awesome to see. I'd given up on him too. I was texting our group chat. I was like, the NBA's rigged. This sport sucks. I'm gonna have to watch the Stanley Cup.
Dude, I don't know if I've watched more than 10 minutes in my entire life of a Stanley Cup, but if it's Thunder's Pacers, I might have to be
Slip into
honest.
the
But
Stanley.
I mean, like, I don't want to rag on the small markets too much. Like, of course I would watch the NBA Finals, but again, I just want to see Ant in there, man. And we'll get to that game in a minute, but yeah, no, still amazing stuff. These NBA playoffs have been unbelievable. Like, these have
They've been
been,
great.
I can't remember an NBA playoffs that had this much just craziness. I mean, of course, we think back to, of course, those years where it was just LeBron making it to the finals and they were going to game seven against the Celtics and the Pacers all those years, but I mean, this has been amazing.
Yeah, it's been definitely one of the better NBA playoffs that I've watched in recent years for sure. I know you kind of mentioned the other game that we have here, the SGA free throw contest. He won the free throw contest. I mean, it's not like he even took that many free throws, but just watching the Thunder play makes me want to bash my head into something hard. It's bad. I mean, he took 14. He was 11 of 14 from the line. That's still pretty bad. That's a lot. And just all the videos and stuff that we've seen after the fact, like slow-mo replay, slowed down. chucking his shoulder into players, and then it's just some of the most disgusting basketball. It's like we thought James Harden was bad back like 5 or 6 years ago when he was doing that. People say Trae Young's bad at it, but I mean, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. Like, it's bad. I hate it.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of conversations around it, and it's getting very deep into the conversations because I remember there one guy, if you know Kenny Beachum, he's like the big NBA YouTuber guy who's like even like made it on the First Take. I think his like YouTube's named King of the Fourth Quarter, or I think that's his name. He made the point refuting the foul baiting claims of, okay, like the only reason it appears that Shea is foul baiting is because he attacks the basket more than any player. So just by simple math, he's gonna get more calls, and he's gonna like suscept himself to like trying to draw more contact. Which, okay, I see that side of the argument. But for me, it's almost not even the rate in which he does it. It's how. Like half the time he's driving to the basket, it doesn't even look like he's trying to make the shot. You know, it's like he's driving for the sole intent of drawing the foul, which again, I know it's a part of the game, but it just feels that it goes against like the spirit of basketball. Like, dude, like try to score the basketball at least. And if you get fouled, so be it. But I mean, if you see all the screenshots, and I'm not a Twitter screenshot guy, but it's just like Shea's face is with no one touching him,
I
and
know.
it's like that's at least like my perspective of like, okay, I understand, like, okay, he attacks the basket more, so like mathematically he's gonna get more calls, but it's just like you have to watch, and just it's not the rate, it's just the simple like how he plays. And of course he's a great player obviously, but still it's like it gets to a point.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. It's not necessarily just the sheer amount of free throws and fouls that he gets, but it's how he does it. So I was talking about with the screenshots and slow-mo and all that stuff on Twitter. It's like he's got like the scream mask face
I saw that.
at the free throw line, and it's like there's no one within a foot and a half of him, and he's not getting touched. It's honestly pretty disgusting. But speaking of SGA, of course, he got named MVP yesterday as well. So,
Yep.
congratulations to you. One of the most forgettable MVPs in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, shout out to Shams for spoiling it too. I mean, first it's insider spoiling the draft, and now it's spoiling the MVP before it's announced 5 hours early. Like, can we not have anything anymore, insiders?
Nope. We can thank Adam Schefter for starting that with the draft. It's just a every year type of thing. Got to turn the Schefty notifications off. I actually still have mine off, but it's been a nice little hiatus, at least from the breaking news that we all eventually find out 10 minutes later anyway.
I mean, dude, you gotta be careful of having those notifications off, because how else are you supposed to know, you know, hey, Adam Schefter or Ian Rapoport's reporting on who the next Pope is, and randomly I can't remember. I feel like Shams one time reported on like something that just wasn't basketball, and it was the most random. Like, it might have been like a political thing or something, but I'm like, how does Shams know that? Like, that is just nothing to do with basketball. Like, who does this guy know?
Yeah, it was definitely funny. The Shefty and Ian Rapoport thing with the Pope was hilarious. I was like, this is not sports, but honestly, kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the final score of that SGA Foul Merchant Thunder game was 114 to 88. It's kind of a blowout. It was close there for a lot of the time. They just kind of pulled away from the T-Wolves at the end. And then Pacers 138 to 135 in overtime. They end up beating the Knicks. And going back to the fouling conversation, on that last play where the Knicks had a three to win it, there was probably seven or eight offensive and defensive fouls that could have been called that probably would have been called while I was watching. The only thing that was going through my mind is if SGA was even on the court, there would have been a foul called. And then one of the funniest things I saw on Twitter was just people watching the game. It was like, stood up from my couch to go grab a beer and ended up fouling SGA in the process.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the Twitter game is pretty. I mean, NBA Twitter is probably the best side. Well, it's the best and the worst side of Twitter, so it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the memes are definitely funny. But yeah, at this point, I even said in my prediction, like it was silly to think that the Timberwolves would take two games on that home court again. Just win the next one, and you won this portion of the series. Go back to Minnesota with this tied 1-1, and it's all good. So that's what we really need. We need to win this. I say we, but
Yeah, we're all Timberwolves
yeah,
now.
we got to win that game, and then of course go back home with it being tied 1-1. I expect a big game out of Ant this upcoming game. He had no points in the fourth quarter. He only had 18. He didn't take that many shots. He took like
Only
12
took
shots.
13, yeah.
Yeah, like 12 or 13 shots. But yeah, no, I expect that to change, and I'm looking for a 30 piece out of him.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely didn't help that he rolled his ankle early on in the second quarter. He didn't miss too much time, but he wasn't necessarily, you could tell he was kind of laboring out there, at least in some kind of pain, which isn't ideal for your best player, obviously. Julius Randle did just about everything that he could. Dude was lighting it up in the first half, but they found a way to play defense on him, and OKC plays one of the most physical brands of defense, and their best player is a foul baiting merchant. So I would like to see something at least just make it even, just call it both ways. I just don't really understand it.
Dude, and I know I've mentioned this before, but I know I say like all Thunder's Pacers would suck, but I just think the more that I think about it, the Thunder being the finals in any combination would be terrible. Because can you imagine like
Thunder Knicks would be the worst.
SGA and Jalen Brunson just throwing haymakers of who can look the most ridiculous trying to draw a
Throwing
foul?
haymakers without actually touching each other.
Literally throwing haymakers as in grabbing the opposing player, throwing it at your face, and it seeming like he punched you in the face. Like, James Harden was the originator of this, because I remember when he would do his thing, he'd go, oh, tween, 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 and he'd hook around the arm of the defender and then go up, and he got the foul call every time.
Yeah, he was definitely the originator, and Trae Young's not too far behind him. So, I mean, I kind of get it. Trae Young's like our height. He's like 6'1". I've seen him face to face. He is nowhere near taller than me. He is exactly the same height, just looking eye to eye. It's like if I played in the NBA, I'd probably try to get fouled too. I mean, it just kind of makes sense like that. Anyways, we can go ahead and move on here to our little Colorado Rockies exercise.
Oh, dude, I'm
I got some insider information that you might not have done your homework, so this
this is
could
I
be.
mean, dude, why would you snitch on the teacher like this, dude? This is throwback to high school. I'm like, did you do the homework, bro? Like, let me copy. You know, like right before the class starts, and you're like trying to get the answers down, and then at some point you're just like, dude, just give me the bad grade or something. At this point, you told me right before this, and there are at least a couple teams that I do remember. So I'm gonna
See how the
attempt.
retention is.
Yes, I'm gonna see because you told me the eight teams because once again. We said that we were going to do this because we were so confident. Like, there's no way the Rockies are going to have more than 10 wins by the time we do the next podcast. So we can still count on both of our fingers the amount of wins the Rockies have, and we're about 42 games into the season.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I could go ahead and go first because I know that you know it. So it's going to be about if I can do this. All right.
8-41,
8 and
by the way.
41, so 8. Here we go. Braves, obviously. Rays. A's. Giants.
Yep.
That's half. Okay, so if I think about it, it's got to be another team in their division because I feel like.
I can give you hints without giving you the answers too.
No, don't. So the Giants. So I've already said the Giants.
Yep.
So there's no way they've beaten the Dodgers yet.
Who
Who
else?
else is in that division? There's the Padres. Oh, Diamondbacks?
Yep.
Padres?
Yep.
Oh, shoot. All right, dude, I'm doing a shot in the dark here because I feel like I briefly looked at ESPN one of these days and I thought I saw that they beat the same. I could be completely wrong. The Reds.
Nope.
Oh.
Notorious bad team, NL East.
Marlins.
The other one.
Nationals.
Yep. And a team
All
that's
right, give me a hint on here.
beer.
Oh, Brewers.
There we go.
All right.
Yeah. So I
I
got it
mean,
pulled up right here. Just gonna go through these scores real quick because I mean, I was trying to find some type of continuity in these wins. Like, how are they winning games? There's really not. I mean, a lot of them are, I guess, notoriously just boring baseball games, but they beat the Rays 2-1. That was like the second game of the year. So they were off to a hot start. They were 1-1 at one point. And then they beat the A's 12-5, which is kind of an outlier in terms of score. They beat the Brew Crew 7-2. And here's where it gets boring. They beat the Nationals 3-2. They beat the Braves 2-1. They beat the Giants 4-3. And then if you remember the series that they played against the Padres, they lost 21-0 in that first game or the second game, whatever. They come back the next day and they won 9-3 after that game. And then their most recent win was they beat the Diamondbacks in a shootout. It was 14-12.
dude, I've in my lifetime as a sports fan, like I've seen teams chant like "sell the team, sell the team," and I've never like been on board. I'm like, all right, like that's a little exaggerating. Like you guys are bad right now, but like in a few years, like I'm sure you'll at least be decent. I am full
So I
on
see.
board with like Rockies need to sell this team. Like I can't remember. I feel like in high school maybe they've like went to the wild cards like a couple like
Yeah.
maybe one or two times.
They had Trevor Story.
Yeah, with Trevor Story and Charlie Blackman and those guys. Nolan Arenado, of course. Troy Tulowitzki back in the day, if y'all remember them. But I don't know where you go from here because I thought the Oakland A's 2 years ago was as worse as you're gonna get. The White Sox followed it up. I'm like, okay, well, you can't get worse than that. And now the Colorado Rockies. That's why I was equally sad and glad that Charlie Condon got drafted to the Rockies. Because, A, I mean, I guarantee you could put Charlie Condon out on the Rockies right now. Right now. Heck, even recovering from an injury that he had, he would be their best player out there. And he's going to hit bombs and cores. But you're never going to hear from him again as long as he's on the Rockies. You will never hear from him again because he's going to be on a terrible organization, terrible team.
You just named a bunch of future or what Charlie Condon could be in the future. Tulowitzki, Trevor Story, Charlie Blackman, Nolan
Exactly, yes.
Arenado, like got to get traded somewhere else to actually like become, I guess how you would say, a superstar.
Oh, yeah.
But you can obviously still try and make a name for yourself in Colorado right now. But yeah, I agree with you on those two things. Sell the team, call up Charlie Condon, because there is no humanly possible way that you can get worse.
Yeah, what was I gonna say?
They
Something
fired
about
their manager and like two of their coaches as well, just strictly fall guys. Like, how could you expect that team to be good?
yeah. Oh, I was gonna say, so I'm a big like franchise mode guy on like video games like Madden, MLB The Show, and I'm all about like taking over a terrible team and rebuilding them. But I don't even think I would subject myself to doing the Rockies because I would literally probably throw my controller for the fact that I literally cannot get a home run because these dudes all have 30 power and are 65 overalls. I'm like, it'll look like a triple-A lineup. Like whenever you load into a game and it shows like every person's like overall and like what they're batting, it's just gonna be like snowflake. Snow because it's like they're cold. Snowflake,
Ice
snowflake,
cold.
snowflake,
Yep.
snowflake, 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 219, 182, and dude, that would be the definition of rage. I could not do it.
Yeah, I don't think I would subject myself to that either. Even like the White Sox of last year. That was the worst baseball team in the history of baseball, which they call it America's pastime because they've been playing for so long. And it's just the record's going to get shattered this year. That White Sox team won 41 or 42 games. At this point in time, they had like 12 or 13 wins. Like the Rockies aren't even. I think it was they had, I just saw two not too long ago. They were at like 15 or 16 wins, and the Rockies like weren't even at half of what they had at this point in time on May 22nd of last year. Just an absolute abysmal franchise. Feel bad for the coaches and the managers too, just being the fall guys. All right, you want to go ahead and get into this post-spring top 25 rankings that you got there?
I do, because a certain college football personality inspired us to do this because I just was curious where his thought process was in a lot of his rankings. So it figured, hey, let's put our money where our mouth is and let's do our rankings because I'm not in the business of calling someone out, saying, what do you don't know anything, and then us not at least doing the exercise ourselves. So,
All right, so
there
here
you
we
go.
have, these
All
are my
right.
first look, initial glance, post-spring top 24. We begin
Because whenever I was
investing capital.
making this, I ran out of room and I didn't feel like readjusting it, so it's top 24.
Yep. So we got our top 24 rankings. I just kind of made this on the fly, and I feel like it blows Josh Pate out of the water, to be completely honest with you. Like I was telling you earlier, this is post-spring practice, preseason, so not really like predicting how they're going to finish or what's going to happen overall in these conferences, even though it doesn't look that bad. It's not too much different than what I would have. But obvious number one, we have our unfortunate national champion, Ohio State Buckeyes. And then at number two, I have some clear homerism here. This was not necessarily done on purpose. This is kind of just how I feel in general, but there's a reason why I feel that, and it's because I went to UGA and watched a lot of the spring game. So very confident with our returning production, what we have, blue chip ratio, 5 stars, 4 stars, just about everybody on the team is one of those. So I'd be hard pressed to keep them outside of the top five. I feel like these teams are more interchangeable than you might think, depending on if you value specifically a quarterback, which would be these two, or maybe kind of a quarterback that you don't necessarily know too much about, but you trust the team and the overall makeup of the team, which would be these two, being Georgia and Bama. Obviously, Penn State's returning a lot of talent. And everyone's very, very high on them for one reason or another. I guess you could say James Franklin has won the quote unquote big game now, but did he really? I mean, they beat SMU, but Drew
And
Aller's probably going to be top three pick. What's that, Cole?
I said, and they beat Boise State. Come on.
Group of
Yes,
five.
Cole.
Group of five. And then Clemson obviously returning Cade Klubnik, who's going to be probably a Heisman front runner right now, if I had to guess. I'm actually pretty certain that he is. But yeah, Drew Aller,
Alar.
Drew Aller, and Cade Klubnik are going to be Heisman front runners here. Everyone obviously wants to put Texas up at the top just because of name value and Arch Manning, but honestly, he wasn't a world beater in the two games that he started last year. It's like, yeah, he was good, but he played against UL Monroe and Mississippi State. I mean, nothing really to write home about. Came in the Georgia game, got sacked like three times and threw a pick, so I'm not all too concerned about them yet. Got a lot that we need to see from Texas still. Think Oregon could potentially be a little bit higher on this list with a lot of returning production. Dan Lanning, great coach, just has a loads and loads of talent on that team with Dante Moore coming in as the starter. And then Notre Dame here obviously played for the national championship game. I guess you could kind of have them falling a little bit. I don't know too much about their team or their quarterback. So if I had to go back and do this again, I'd probably switch LSU and Notre Dame, but then it feels like you kind of have the team that just played for the national championship game a little bit too low. But LSU is going to have another one of those guys in Garrett Nussmeier, who's going to be a Heisman hopeful, and tons of returning talent, and obviously going to have they're always going to have the receivers to worry about. And then Ole Miss here is rounding out our top 10. That Austin Simmons kid played one drive against Georgia and just walked it down the field. I became greatly concerned about that game at that specific point. But yeah, thoughts, comments, concerns on the 10?
My only thing is I think when you look at this, every team is like, okay. I think Ole Miss being at 10 is a tad high. Tad high.
I would switch them with Miami if I had to do it again.
I just, of course, yes, you've got Austin Simmons and they brought in a talented receiving core, but it's more so how they're going to reload on defense. I mean, you lose 3 to 4 NFL defenders on that defense, whether you're talking about Walter Nolan, Trey Amos, Princely,
Pegues.
Pegues, exactly. So I just wonder how they're going to backfill, especially that secondary. I'm not too sure how that's going to work out for them. So that would be my only pushback. But I agree with you on the Notre Dame LSU thing. You'll see in my top 25, I also went back and forth with them because I feel like they're very similar, and LSU has the returning quarterback, so you want to give them the edge, but also you want to respect the fact of they made the national championship game. Like, at least give them some credit there, and they do have a highly rated quarterback coming in, and of course they have Jeremiah Love and Jaden Greathouse coming back. That's kind of what I got on that top 10 at least.
Yeah, if I had to do it again, I'd switch 8 and 9 with these two, and then I'd switch Ole Miss and Miami. But honestly, it's not too bad, but I got Michigan here. Honestly, don't know too much about Michigan. I don't know why everyone has them rated so highly. I could see them being anywhere from 12 to 18, honestly. I mean, they're probably going to be good. They're going to have a good defense. I don't know if I trust Sharon Moore yet in his second year. I mean, they went 7-5 last year, but they did beat Ohio State. So that shows that there's definitely something there, but they also lost a lot of great talent up front. I mean, Kenneth Grant, Will Johnson in the back end. I mean, those were two very high draft picks, along with who's the other guy?
Mason Graham.
Yeah, Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham in the front seven. And then coming in at 13 here, we got Jon Mateer, Oklahoma. I think a lot of people have them very, very highly rated. They had a lot of returning production, and their receiver room's actually going to be healthy. I know it was a big talking point of last year that their top five receivers were all injured at one point in time. They were throwing people like us out there to catch passes from Jackson Arnold. Then we got 14. I could see South Carolina being a little bit higher just due to the Lenora Sellers effect, but they also lost a lot on defense. But they still have Dylan Stewart, who is likely going to be, he's a sophomore, right? He's in that, oh,
Soft
Dude,
pick.
him, Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams are going to be flying off the board after their junior years. Yeah, those are some of the best recruits that we've seen in a while, at least that produce right away as as true freshmen. And then they obviously beat, no, did it,
I
Illinois
don't
beat
remember.
South
The
Carolina?
only thing I remember that game is the Shane Beamer, Brett Bielema
I
fight
know, I
on
watched a lot of
midfield.
it too because we got Josh McCray, the Illinois running back. I think
I don't
Illinois
remember who won
beat
that
them.
game.
But whatever. They got is Luke Altmyer versus Lenore Sellers. I'll take Lenore Sellers. And they play in the SEC, so just makes more sense. Tennessee would be a lot higher here if they didn't lose Nico and the whole portal fallout, whatever you want to call that. That was just an interesting situation. That's all I really know what to call it. Pretty sure SMU got their quarterback back, Jennings. He was an athletic freak last year, and he led them to the playoffs in what is going to be a pretty weak ACC, to be honest, with really just competing with these three teams right here, and then, oddly enough, Georgia Tech. Going back at it, looking back at it, Georgia Tech's probably a team that you could find on some people's top 25, but probably at 25. I know it's just 24, but I didn't even have them at 25. But that's all right. We don't like them anyways. A&M at 18, just for pretty much sheer talent ratio. I mean, they're obviously going to be paying the most for their players, it seems like. At least in the NIL era. And are they going to get the most out of those players? Probably not. They haven't yet, but I could see them starting off 8-0 and then losing four straight again. I mean, it's just kind of how they roll. You got Arizona State here at 19, obviously a college football playoff team last year. I think Sam Levitt's pretty darn good. He's probably going to be in that Heisman conversation, but they obviously lose a lot of talent with Scadabo. Not having him at running back is going to suck for them. And then Indiana here at 20. I don't really know too much about them. Who is their transfer that they got?
Fernando
Quarterback.
Mendoza.
Oh yeah, they got Mendoza from Cal. And I always get him and Mateer confused. But yeah, Fernando Mendoza comes in. I think what's his face is a really good coach.
Cignetti.
Oh yeah,
Gosh,
Cigaretti.
do you even watch football, bro?
Yeah. Sometimes. I think Cigaretti's a great coach. Speaking of great coaches, neither of these two teams have those. I think Billy Napier still, just like last year, is going to be essentially fighting for his job. But they have a lot of talent. Their defensive line, front seven, is supposed to be really good. We already know DJ Lagway is really good, but what's his injury situation looking like? I mean, he's been rehabbing a shoulder injury for the past 6 months and hasn't gotten any type of operation or surgery on it. That whole situation's definitely a bit weird to me. I think you could definitely have Auburn a little bit higher if you want to. I mean, they brought in two transfer quarterbacks. They got the guy from Stanford. What's his name? Ashton Daniel.
Ashton Daniels,
Daniels? I think it's Ashton
I'll say.
Daniels. And then Jackson Arnold, obviously. Seems like Jackson Arnold's going to be that guy to start. They got a crazy talented receiver room. It's someone that I am not looking forward to playing personally as a Georgia fan, but
And they have
usually
the
get the job done.
Deuce Knight. He'll probably be the
Yeah.
backup, honestly. I think
Yeah.
Ashton Daniels, honestly, just like getting a head start on his coaching career, going to Auburn. Like, I think it's just one of those things, you know, dude.
Yeah.
Probably. At least
I
my
mean,
opinion. No
Hugh
disrespect,
Freeze has some pressure on him this year to win six games
Auburn.
and make a bowl game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe they do it. Probably will. I don't think that's a very high bar, and I think the bar is probably a lot higher. He's just kind of scared to say it. But he's in what, year three or four now? I think year
Three, I think.
year three. Just 2 years removed from losing to New Mexico State at home. So we're gonna keep that on the back burner. We're not gonna forget about that. I just put Utah here because they're consistently good. They play in a super weak conference. They're gonna have they got a great combination of big boys and skill guys, just like a classic Kyle Whittingham coach team. Big Samoans out there too. You know, they love going to Utah. And then I put Iowa State here. I kind of want to put, I know I had Texas Tech as my 25. I'd probably put Texas Tech there if I only knew we were getting 24 in the old graphic. But that's okay, because I at least know more about Texas Tech than I do Iowa State. It seems like Micah Hudson is going back to Texas Tech,
Yeah, he is. He
which
is.
is wild. The discourse around him is very strange. I mean, he
Although,
is.
to be fair, you sided with the team with the more established quarterback, and I don't think that's a bad exercise to do because Rocco Beck's coming back.
Yeah, Rocco Beck was pretty good last year. Yeah, I don't hate that. I think they're going to be okay. I mean, everyone in the Big 12 is just essentially very, very mid. I don't see a great team in the Big 12 at all this year. It's going to be kind of how it was last year with these two being Arizona State and Iowa State. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got here. What do you think? Whole synopsis of a ranking.
Trying to think, how would I summarize your ranking? I mean, I think you have a pretty balanced criteria. Like, you value returning production, quarterback returning, but you also throw in yes, while Penn State has the returning quarterback, like, we know Ohio State just overall is the better roster and Georgia. And just overall like that. So I think that's a good mix because I think people sometimes, honestly, they can value too many things over another when it's a combination of a lot of factors. So I take yours over Josh Pates.
I would too. Thanks, Cole. I appreciate that. All right. I'm gonna go ahead and get Cole's popped up here.
There's going to be one key difference between mine and yours.
Oh boy.
And I'm going to see if you can see it right off the bat. Bad boy up.
All right. Here we go. This is Cole's post-spring top 24. Ew. It's gross and I hate it. That's
So
the only thing
the key difference that you'll see is I think I respect the Big 12 infinitely more this year than you do. But we can just go ahead and get into it. Obviously, starting off with number one, we all know it, and it's going to be a point of contention. It's Texas. And I'm here to tell you that I am not putting Texas one because I see them at number one in a lot of them. I'm not following the crowd. I'm just doing this simply because I feel the best about them and their overall team. I get Arch Manning is hyped up and everyone's just a shoo-in for him to be good. And I fall into one of those people, dude. And I do it because honestly, I mean it's the NFL pedigree. Like I know he's gonna be a really good player. And if you look at the 2023 quarterback class, it's Arch Manning, Nico Iamaleava, Jackson Arnold, and Malachi Nelson, who are like the top four, and he's now at UTEP. So strictly off of probability and statistics, there's no way that the top four to five quarterbacks of the 2023 class like are all not good. It's like so that's I'm banking on Arch Manning being good, but other than Arch Manning, I mean, I think their defense is going to be very solid. I mean, you got Colin Simmons, you got Anthony Hill, who's a laser-guided missile linebacker, who honestly could be a pass rusher too, because he shoots through gaps and he's such a great tackler. And then even you got CJ Baxter coming back at running back. You got CJ Baxter, you got Quantrevion Wisner still there, and then you even had the talented freshman last year, Jarrett Gibson, who got some time in there. Ryan Wingo, they recruited the receiver position. Unbelievable. I mean, you're going to hear about this guy, Kalik Lockett, who who was it? Michael Terry, Aaron Butler, Jamie French, like they're loaded. And I just trust Texas and like what they have in the program that they have right now, and then the quarterback that they have coming in. Like I just don't see a world where they're not a top four team this year. And I was going back and forth between them and Ohio State because I almost went just straight up, okay, out of respect for the national champion, like they're number one until proven otherwise. But it just goes back to the reports that we're hearing out of camp. It seems that it's gonna be Julian Sain, but they almost wish he would have been more defiant in how he won the job. It's almost like a they're both equal, but we're gonna go with the more talented freshman, where they would have hoped he would have just blown the competition out of the water, and that's not what happened. So, Jacob, I'll just stop here and open it up to you because I'm sure you have thoughts on it, but that's kind of what my thoughts are, at least on those first two.
I mean, yeah, I get your reasoning. Texas is going to be absolutely loaded. I mean, if you pay $40 million for a football team, you should be number one, right? And you should be number one all year. And you should never lose. Because that's how
And
football works, right?
yes, exactly. That's always how it works.
Yep. So Texas is going to be number one starting off the year and never going to fall off. They're going to beat the crap out of everyone on their schedule, including Georgia, because they have a vast history of doing so.
Yes. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah,
What
I
else?
mean, it's this is a top 25 ranking.
Yes. So moving on
I
here.
like it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I did have Ohio State at one and Texas at like what, four or five, but your
Yes.
reasoning is checking out.
Yes. Clemson at number three. Now, this was a combination, at least in my original ranking, of I so first of all, it's Cade Klubnik. Like I think he is like, if you think of the returning quarterbacks, it's usually Cade Klubnik, Drew Aller. But I just think Drew. I mean, Cade Klubnik is significantly better than Drew Aller.
Yeah.
The receiving core. I know Josh Pate made the most hysterical claim of all time, claiming that they have the best receiving core. But I genuinely do believe they have a very solid core there. I mean, we know that their defense is going to be solid. It's always solid under Dabo. Peter Woods, I mean, he's an insane D tackle. So I just really like them and like what they're going to be this year. And then I have Georgia at number four. I mean, I think that this is about like fair of where they should be, like Jacob said, in like the 4, 5, 6 range. And hey, who knows? Maybe Gunnar Stockton, because we're not projecting Gunnar Stockton to be an all-world, all-caliber amazing quarterback. We think he's going to be very solid, and he's going to be good enough and well good enough to win the national championship. I just think when you look at especially the top two, now I think you can flip Georgia and Clemson, and it'd be very fair. But at least with Ohio State and Texas, I feel like we're just not. With our quarterback situation, not saying it's bad, but I just think that Ohio State, Texas are just in a better position, at least in the spring. Now that can all change, of course, because Texas and Ohio State are playing each other week one, and that's going to immediately flip who's 1-2. These next couple, Oregon, Penn State, like I just don't think Penn State is like this is about what I think Penn State should be. I don't get the people that are ranking them one. They haven't done anything to justify like trusting them to be like that top tier team. I think right here, this is about where they should be. They're going to be behind Ohio State. They're going to be behind Oregon. It's just what it is. They're always going to be the third best team in the Big Ten. That's just, they're destined to be that. I'm not as high on Alabama. You had them three, I had them at seven. This could change, but I just don't know about Ty Simpson, first year starter. I'm always very, I don't know. I don't want to say I'm always hesitant about a first year starter because I literally have Texas at number one, but I feel like we've at least seen more out of Arch Manning than Ty Simpson. So, and I just think
It's true.
overall, I just overall don't really know much more about Alabama. And I think this is kind of where they should be. Again, 8-9, the Texas or the LSU Notre Dame. You could go
These are
either.
the only two that we have the same.
Yeah, exactly. You could go either way, but again, I side on the fact of they went to the national championship and CJ Carr. He was a highly rated guy in the 2024 class. He's going to be their quarterback. Having Jeremiah Love is going to just take a load off of him immensely. So yes, South Carolina at number 10. I really like Lenore Sellers. I know they lost a lot on the defensive side, but I think that they found something last year and they've reestablished under Beamer because they had it rolling under Beamer before that one year where they went like 6 and 5 and 7 or something. But I
Yeah.
think they've reestablished it, and I think Lenore Sellers, this is the Lenore Sellers show this year. Illinois at 11, and the more that I look at this, this was one of the ones where I had them at this position because originally I did it as a where I think they're going to finish potentially, and I just probably never adjusted. So if I could change anything about this, I would definitely put them a little lower. But I still think they're a solid team. I always love returning quarterback and Luke Altmaier, so I like them
He's like
there.
an eighth-year senior too.
Exactly. Exactly. Miami, I mean, this is pure. I mean, say what you want about Carson Beck. I mean, Georgia fans, we're going to be rooting for the downfall of Miami this year, but
Heavily.
you cannot like discount the fact of giving a 6-year starting quarterback who started in the SEC for 2 years coming in. And like, I just. It's going to be very good for them. And of course, being in the ACC, I just see them being a very solid team. Very interesting matchup between them and Notre Dame week one. That is going to be one to look at, and I'll be tuned in for sure. Tennessee, the whole the Nico situation, I have them higher. Just,
Would have been higher.
yeah, they would have. I would have probably had them at like that 11 range, but I still think they're a solid team and they're going to be in that range. This is where it probably gets dicey for you. Well, it probably got dicey a lot earlier in this ranking. I have the Texas Tech Red Raiders at number 14.
You have
When
the
you talk
entire
about,
Big 12 conference from 14 to 24.
yep, when you talk about NIL spending and investment in this football program, that's what the Texas Tech Red Raiders do. And when the money, I'm following the money trail. You invest this much money. By far the biggest investment of any team in the Big 12. And they are currently, right now, the odds on favorite by a good bit, the last time I saw, to win the Big
Really?
12. So I'm going to trust A, the investment, and B, the people in Vegas. I just think that this team is going to be a very solid team. And then, of course, right behind them, Arizona State, reigning Big 12 champs, Sam Levitt coming in at the helm. Solid team. 15, I believe, is the spot. Florida at 16. Right here with Florida, I mean, there's the whole DJ Lagway injury situation, but assuming that he's healthy and he's ready to go week one and on, I think that the year two leap for him, he's gonna be a very good player. And then that receiving core that they said there are reports out of their camp that there's a kid, this Dallas Wilson true freshman, he's going to be a problem. And I think that receiving, I think that their offense is going to be a very good offense. But again, it's that defense that I think is going to hold them back. If they at least had a solid defense, I think they could, you can have an argument of them being higher. But again, it's, but you have to prove something at least to me for me to justify putting you anywhere near that top 10 range. So I think right here is a good spot for them because I think it's a fair balance of projection, but also like you still have to prove something here. So this is where I have Ole Miss at 18. So when I told you I'd had them a tad lower, I guess by a tad I meant 8 spots.
That's a good margin.
So my whole thing with it is last year, I mean, Lane Kiffin, that team, there is no reason that team should miss the playoff. That team was such a, that was the best Ole Miss team, talent for talent, like Ross for Ross or ever. There was no reason they should have missed the playoff. And They just couldn't get it done. And now this year, you have a first-year starting quarterback. You lost so many defensive players to the NFL. You lost a bunch of receivers. You're essentially counting on Austin Simmons, who I think is going to be a solid player, but I just think you're counting on too many things falling into place right for Ole Miss when historically Lane Kiffin has showed, like, even with that amazing team, he could elevate them to the playoffs. So how am I supposed to now believe they're going to be in the top 12 this year, especially in the SEC when they have to go to Athens and just, you
They
know what I
played
mean?
Florida at the end, and then they lost to Florida.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be at home against Florida at least. 19, I have Baylor. I'm high on the Baylor Bears because I never gave up on Dave Aranda. I just think he's a solid coach. And last year, they have Sawyer Robertson coming back, and they're playing Auburn week one. And that's on like a Friday night, the Friday night before the season starts.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
I did a
very.
dynasty with Baylor. I'm cool with this. I like
Yep.
Sawyer Robertson.
Exactly. And then, I mean, I got the Big 12 show here. I got Kansas State. I mean, I have them. This is my version of your Utah ranking.
Yeah.
Like, Kansas State is always a solid team. They got Avery Johnson. I mean, Chris Kleiman's a great coach. Like, they're always going to be a solid team and in this top 25 range. And if the Big 12 shakes out how I think it is going to be, then they're going to have plenty of chances to play quality opponents, and I think that they'll at least be in that top echelon competing for a Big 12 title. BYU right here. And you know
Hey, why'd
why? Because
you?
BYU, they're always going to have 25-year-old guys because they go on their mission, they come back, and they're older than everyone else, and they're more mature, and that's just going to equate to more wins. You got Jake Retzlaff back. He's going to be one of the better returning quarterbacks, more experienced. I just see them being another solid team. Now, they won't be on this magic carpet ride where they were like 10th in week nine or something because they were getting lucky with a lot of their wins, but I still think BYU is going to be a good team. Iowa, another version of they're always solid, and they have that South Dakota State quarterback transfer to them. I think he won the FCS National Championship. And he transferred to Iowa. And this is the first time I think in my lifetime I can say I'm interested to see the Iowa quarterback situation.
Oh, God. Far cry from, what was his name? Deacon.
Deacon Hill.
Deacon
Sam
Hill.
Petch. Pet, Spencer Pet, Petras.
Deacon Hill and Spencer Petras or Petras was the absolute epitome of
Bad
Iowa
quarterback play.
football.
Bad quarterback play. So yeah, Indiana. This is just purely respect from last year. Like I don't think you go undefeated by accident or 11-1 by accident. I get that their schedule was weak. I get it, but I still respect Cignetti and what they got going. They got Fernando Mendoza coming in. This is just out of respect. I still think they're a solid team in top 24. And then I got Oklahoma coming in. I think this is the year for what's their coach's name? I'm drawing a blank.
Venables,
Venables. This year
do you
for
even
Venables.
watch football?
Exactly. Respect, respect. All right, I got you. I think this is the year for him. You got Mateer coming in. You got dudes. I mean, this team is not starved for talent. I mean, he recruits at a top level. And I think that they're going to be a solid team this year. And number 24, I think, is the spot for them. So, yeah, this is my ranking. If I could change one thing, I would definitely have Illinois a little lower. But hey, what are you going to do? I think that this is a solid top 24, and it sets up for a lot of interesting matchups and a few honorable mentions, I guess you could say, or teams that I left out that were also on yours. I didn't put Auburn here. I just maybe if I had 25, they'd be at 25, maybe. But I think that the other team I had, I can't remember. I didn't have Auburn. Oh, I didn't have Michigan. That's the biggest discrepancy, I think. You had
Yeah.
Michigan all the way up at 12, and I don't have them ranked. I mean, I think that we forget that Michigan went 7-5 last year.
I
Yes,
agree.
they beat Ohio State. Yes, they beat Alabama. They were not good. Like, they were still not a good team. In fact, they were a bad team. And now you have a true freshman coming in. I get he's talented. I get it. He's a true freshman coming in to play. And
Oh, what's his name? Underwood?
Underwood, like, if he's the starter, okay, cool. Like, he's going to take his lumps. I don't think that they're even expecting to be good if he does start. Now, you can ask anyone around the program or even the fans, like, oh, yeah, we expect to be good because we're Michigan, but I don't buy it. I don't think that they've done enough to make up for it. I mean, they're still, to me, they're still a 7-5 team who now has a true freshman quarterback coming in to start this year, and now we're just supposed to expect them to be amazing. I don't buy it. So that's probably my biggest discrepancy, what I feel the most strongly about.
Yeah. I like your list as well. I like both of ours, but for different reasons, honestly. So I mean, I made my list like within like 5 minutes. I was with ESPN, had their like overall like talent composition ratings or however you want to call it. So that's like basically what mine was based off of, like blue chip ratio and overall talent composition, with obviously I mixed it up in my own head and used my own personal judgment to make it. But yeah, you're really high on the Big 12. And I was way too high on Michigan for sure. I didn't even know why I had them there. I mean, in that ESPN thing that I was looking at, they were at like 8. I was like, oh my God. So I thought I was bumping them down quite a bit. But yeah, I would have. If I were to redo it, I would have been higher on Texas Tech, like you, because I mean, I believe in the money. The money talks. I had A&M in mind. You didn't.
Oh,
And
shoot. That's
Auburn.
probably who I think that's who I had at 25.
25? Yeah.
That's probably who I had at 25.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I think the
The
only
more I
ones
think
we had
about it.
exactly the same were 8 and 9, which I find hilarious.
Yeah.
What did you use anything to base your. Like, were you looking at something while you made him?
So I would say that I just literally went on Twitter and looked up top 25. And like, I just kind of got a general consensus. Now, of course, 95% of it was just my personal judgment,
Yeah.
but like, I just needed like to see a list to jog my mind, like, oh, that team, yeah, that team, yeah, that team, you know?
Yep.
So that's what I did. I like your approach though, looking at the talent composition. Blue
Yeah.
chip ratio is usually that's you follow the blue chip ratio, that's where the good teams are going to be. But
Yeah.
also,
Yeah, usually. That's why I think Ole Miss was so high, but I mean, I agree with you. They had so many players on defense that they just lost. Like, and they got a tough schedule. They got to play us. They got to come to Athens. I think we're going to beat the ever-loving brakes off of them like we did 2 years ago, because last year's game was ugly. Like, regardless of how you want to say it, they beat the brakes off of us in Oxford last year. But then 2 years ago, when we played them at home, it was 52-14.
yeah.
Like, with Jackson Dart and with Trey Harris, with the Piggies and all the players that they had on defense, I think we're gonna rock their world this year. I hope so bad.
I
And
have
then,
six Big 12 teams in the top 24.
yeah, what's up with that too?
Dude, I don't know. I didn't even
I was
like.
looking at it, I was like, did you make this list? Like, I feel like I know you pretty well. Like, we usually have very similar opinions on football, but this is wildly different. But I think it makes for great content. This is great.
Oh yeah. And I gotta say, you know, putting this together and looking at it, I think this is a good exercise because now I sympathize with those media members that have to put together their top 25 and they put it out to social media. It's like, you are literally stupid. And it's like, I'm even thinking now, like, ooh, I would have changed that. Ooh, I would have changed that. Ooh, that, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
So,
I would have
Josh
switched them
Bate,
up.
come here. All right. This is your hand. I sympathize with you.
Yeah, I've had a love-hate relationship with Josh Pate for about 5 years now. So we're definitely on the hate train right now, but I'm sure it'll come around because it always does.
No.
Yeah, I think One last thing, big change I would make. I would take out Utah and put K-State in mine. I agree. I like the returning quarterback, Avery Johnson, good coach, all that kind of stuff. I think these two are a bit wild. So out of all these Big 12 teams, who do you think is going to win the Big 12? Is it Texas Tech because he put them the highest?
I think Texas Tech will win the Big 12.
I think if I had to
Which,
put money on it right now, I'd go Arizona State solely because I think Sam Levitt's really good. Or it would be between, I don't know, it'd be between all the teams that you have up here, between Texas Tech, Arizona State, Iowa State, and probably BYU or Kansas State. I don't like the Sawyer Robertson guy. He was super boring to play with on the game. I benched him. I did a Baylor rebuild, but I benched him for a freshman that I recruited.
CFB25 knowledge.
Hey, that's ball knowledge. Just a
That's
different kind of
ball
ball,
knowledge.
man. I know that DJ Lagway always hits the transfer portal. So if Florida does bad this year, expect DJ Lagway go bye-bye.
Yeah. Dude, I'm trying to think of other like random. Like, what's a who's another team in college football 25 that's always randomly just like that? It's always I can't think of it off the top of
It's
my head.
always like the Marshalls or the UTSAs or something like that. Meep meep go crazy.
Yeah. Meep meep go crazy.
Well, you got anything else on it?
Nah, dude, I think that was a great exercise. It got my mind back into the
Made
football
me
mode, because you know you get
itching.
so what's up?
It made me itching for college football. I am
Yep.
fiending for college football.
I
Yeah.
know. Like I told you, dude, that Friday night before the game, that Auburn at Baylor, that is one of the more interesting games that I'm like very excited for, because that's going to tell me a lot, at least about like what I know. 'Cause like I'm
Yeah.
high on Baylor, not so much on Auburn. So
Yeah, I'm kind of
what
the other
if.
way around, I'd say. I think Jackson Arnold's going to be able to sling it to those receivers. Those receivers scare the shit out of me as a Georgia fan. I do not want to see Keon Coleman ever. But yeah, that's going to be
You
it.
mean Cam Coleman?
Oh, yeah, whatever. Same thing. We can cut that out. That's going to be it for episode 15 of the Gridiron Pulse. Hope you guys enjoyed our little exercises today. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, share us on social media, and we'll see you next time.
Yep.